You might like to open your Bible to chapter 7 of Jeremiah. In our exercise, as we have been seeking to grab the truth and the information that God has given us in and by Jeremiah, that we would have the benefit here and now. And in doing so, we have done that a little bit up to chapter 48. Now, having done that and looking at chapters 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. It's a section. And it's a detailed section on helping, especially if you were living in Jeremiah's day or thereafter slightly, you would be pretty involved because it would be information and activity that would involve, like, our country. Here we are in the election, and we're looking at Canada, we're looking at Mexico, we're looking at the Panama Canal. All of these things are around us. So it's very relevant to us. This information would be very relevant to those people. To us, it details, wonderful details, of Moab and each thing, and Egypt, we did. Having done that, now, I thought it might be helpful to get some little pieces that you can put together and have that as you look at this section and any other section, like in Genesis 5, and they all died. Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, the genealogies. They're all there. They're needed. They're necessary. But they aren't very practical when you've got a flat tire out on the highway and it's snowing. But they're necessary. So now, taking a little trip to consider those things. We know that God wanted believers to be believing. And Adam and Eve believed, Cain didn't, and Abel did. They believed. Genesis 6, they didn't believe. But God is outworking his plan centered in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we share together to keep in mind as we've been doing this, that God, judgment always begins, as we shared last time, first. First with the top. God is at the top. Jesus Christ is going to bear the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God is going to be slain. Judgment for all angels and humans and whatever else has taken place in his Son, by his Son, at Calvary's cross. Judgment begins at the top. The Jew, we shared Romans 1 and Romans 2. Judgment begins to the Jew first. If anyone should know God, the Jew should. Judgment begins with the Jew first, then the Gentiles. And so having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, as he begins his judgment, and that judgment, after it goes to the Jew, it then goes in down the row to the Gentiles. And always looking at the heart, always looking at the attitude and movement of whether the believing heart is believing. So as we go down the road and look to God, here's the Jew, but the Jew doesn't believe. Jeremiah chapter 7, but save time, you know all that we did it last time. Verse 24, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. How long have they been doing that? Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, have I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet, verse 26, they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. So the history of the Jew leaving Egypt, they didn't want to leave Egypt. They had to leave Egypt. It was at God's will. But in leaving, their heart was in Egypt. Their heart, Israel, saved wonderfully under Moses in the wilderness, wonderful, kept by God. But you know, their heart wasn't there. But all the way, here's Jeremiah chapter 7, well, we're looking at the end of Nebuchadnezzar, all the way, their heart always was never quite right as a nation. Apart from Joshua, as we did in chapter 10, and that, apart from those times, they weren't there. Ezra, etc., a good time, but not, they weren't there. They just weren't there. And you know what they were missing? They failed generation after generation. They failed to recognize that God was being merciful to them and gracious. Until the end, you come to the last judge. The last judge, remember, is Samuel. When you come to the last judge, they wanted no more judges. And finally, the people's attitude popped out of the pages and said, we don't want to be under your rule, God. We want to be like the other nations. Remember? 1 Samuel 8. We want to be like the nations. And then they started downhill, having kings. And the kings were there, good kings, bad kings. They gave up God's kingship. They put aside God's rule that kept them in grace. When they were way out of line, God was still watching them and caring for them. But they were too stupid to pay attention to it. Now, so you got the idea. So as we're going down now, the Jew first, and then the Gentile. So going down, we're looking here, Israel's at the top. We read about Egypt's there, Assyria's there, but as long as Israel is there, all the way to Zedekiah, the last king, as long as Israel's there, they're God's nation, and the temple is there, Jerusalem is there, and all the nations around them, Babylon and Assyria, are to pay attention. God is still there. Is God someplace? Yes, in Jerusalem. He's still there. He's still there. So, when they keep going downhill, Nebuchadnezzar and God tells them they're going to be judged. God waited and waited and waited. It's time for them to be judged. Now, back over if I can, picking up, in this judgment God's going to do, he warns everybody. So over as you did, just quickly to see it, chapter 25 in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25. And picking up, if I may, in verse 12, again, locking it in, even though we've done this. 12. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations. And, verse 13, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all nations. Verse 14, for many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them. Also, and I will recompense them. In other words, everyone's going to get you. I'm going to use the unsaved nations to judge Israel. And I'm going to turn around after judging Israel first. I'm going to turn around to them because they are going way past what I asked in their cruelty, etc. Because that's unsaved nations. Picking up verse 14 again. And many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds, according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of his fury at my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And verse 16, I guess, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad, all confused and in their thinking, in their mind, upset. They shall be drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send unto them. In other words, like dominoes. You knock the first one down, and they're all going to go. God judges the first domino, and then all the nations that follow, that are there, all the nations that are involved, are going to be involved. That's why you're going to read Jeremiah 49, a whole list of them. You're going to read it. They're going to have to go. I start with the top. I keep going. I'm doing a full job, as it were. So, having said that, in chapter 25, knowing the judgment is going to fall on all the nations because they are what they are, and so you can't sit back and say, well, it's happening over there in Moab. It's not going to happen to us. Beg your pardon. Look at Moab, and then turn the page, and you'll find your name. You'll find your name coming up. So don't sit there so happily. It's just there. It isn't just there. It isn't just there at all. So therefore, having got that part again, now, but God would be merciful always. Think of the Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, the awesomeness to the fourth and fifth generation, so third and fourth generation. And I'll be merciful to 1,000 generations. I'll be merciful to 1,000 of them. Yeah, always merciful. Where would we be? So, now, tie that together, chapter 27. And God would, all they had to do, remember, was pay attention. So I'm asking myself, why is God letting Nebuchadnezzar clobber all these nations? Remember, we asked that. Why them? Why? You don't read. You don't read anything about the European Union. You don't read anything. It's just right now, God has Nebuchadnezzar. We know it's all going to go like the dominoes. We know that. But God, as long as Nebuchadnezzar's there, then you need to know he's the top man, as we shared last time. So, in chapter 27, picking up, please, verse 7. Well, I'll read verse 8, because that helps us. Well, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of until the time his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. In other words, Babylon's going to get it. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why you just did. Nebuchadnezzar, we already did that. Nebuchadnezzar clobbered Egypt and took Egypt off the being a big nation. It never became a big nation again. God did it. God is going to judge Moab. God's going to judge all these towns. Why? Because I told all you guys to make sure you yielded to Nebuchadnezzar. He's at the top. Don't fight him. And the trouble is, they did. They were told not to do that. And if you go against, here, the silly illustration. I'm going to have, here's my big snowball. Big avalanche. And I'm telling everybody, I know it's going to fall. I'm telling everybody, get out of the way. Get out of the way of the avalanche. It's going to fall. And no one wants to listen. So, once the avalanche starts falling, it's rather late to tell you anything. I told you ahead of time, the avalanche is going to fall. But then you waited till it was falling. And it's sort of too late. So, God is warning the nations that Nebuchadnezzar's at the top. Don't mess with him. Rest, believe, serve him. Bow down and serve him. He's the top. Give him that credit. Do it. If you don't do it, he's going to get you. So in chapter 46, 7, 8, 9, who's knocking him off? Who's the centerpiece? Nebuchadnezzar is after all these nations. God said, I told you to serve. But they didn't need to serve. And so they all going to get clipped. And that's what God's writing about. He's telling you, I told you, and then I'm going to show you. They all got clipped. Now, having said that, if I can, in chapter, going to verse 11, but the nation, contrary, here's what we just said, but the nation that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. In other words, you guys, they aren't going to get, you're just going to live, you just got a new boss. That's what you got. All they had to do was believe. That's all they had to do. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, now, so, the bigger picture. Now, God, what are you going to do? You have this dominant, using your domino illustration. They're going to go. Now, God, how's that going to work? You said, we read it, Nebuchadnezzar is going to get clipped. And is going to go downhill. I'm done with Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to punish Nebuchadnezzar by Media Persia and each nation in sequence. So therefore, over if I can, turn there just even though you know it, and just hold your finger there for a minute. Daniel and chapter 2, so you know it's there still. And in Daniel chapter 2, and watch, I'm just going to point out to you the sequence. Chapter 2, verse 31. God sees the Nebuchadnezzar sees the image of a man, a great image, etc. And then you go through, it goes down the head, the down the chest, and all the way thighs and everything. You get down. And all the nations, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, what's going to happen? God's going to allow the Media Persians rise up. They're going to do whatever, everyone honor them, but they're going to goof. And then God raises up Alexander the Great, Alexander the Great, etc. And the Media Persians get it. And then Alexander goes down, this great empire, and Rome comes along. And then Rome comes along. And then chapter 2, and in verse 43, then you get the 10 nations of Europe, 10 nations, and they're going to do what? The Antichrist is going to rise up, and God, when you're done with the pile, because the Antichrist is the end of the pile. He's the last domino. And the Antichrist is doing what? He's bringing all the whole world, nations, in unison. Not like Media Persia over there. He's going to bring the whole thing. And then Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16, etc. He's going to bring them all together to go against God. And that said, God said, that's the bottom of the pile. He's the top, but he's the bottom. And that's what you have in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and verse 45. What do you have? The Nebuchadnezzar and Christ is going to come a second time at the end of the tribulation. And that's the end. And then what are you going to do, God, in your marvelous plan? You have shown history. How are you going to show history again? God said, I'm going to give you what I tried to help the world understand, and I was merciful to them. I want you to understand, I'm the God. I'm God. I'm the only God. And I'm going to give you 1,000 years to understand I'm the king. I always have been the king. You just didn't let me be the king. So I'm going to be a king and rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And you got 1,000 years to learn this lesson. And at the end, that's when there's rebellion, etc. You getting the idea? It has to go. The sequence has to follow through. It isn't some hit and miss thing where just we're our way. So, as here, as we read in Daniel, etc. And while you're there, remember chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, I guess. Chapter 4, verse 17, God raises up men, people to be rulers and not rulers. They're rulers for a little while, and then they're no more. Like in Zechariah chapter 1, each is substituted, like in Daniel. So having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, over in the times of the Gentiles, that's what's going to happen. Over to the Gospel of Luke. And our Lord explains that. Luke chapter 21. And you will note, Luke chapter 21, picking up just in that God's talking about what's going to happen future to the people. Chapter 21, verse 24. I'll read verse 21-3. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Remember what we just looked at in Daniel chapter 2. All of it has to work out. Trodden down in the Gentiles until what? The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until I'm done with that sequence. When I'm done. I told you what I'm going to do. I told you how it's going to go. And that's how it's going to go. And when I see that when it's all going to happen, we're in a wonderful spot. We're in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, 44. We're the 10 nations thing. We're in the toes. We got the foot. We just need the toes. And the toes are there, but they haven't quite matured yet. How's that? Europe's there, but the present mood and movement is changing the whole situation globally. China, Venezuela, Russia, Europe. If it stayed the way it was, it was going to go a certain way. But now, it's going to change. It has to be broken up to come back to where it's going to go. So that's an awesome time. Now, having said that, the times of the Gentiles, and they have to be fulfilled. Romans in chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, picking up, if I can, remember this, Romans 9, 10, and 11 are all about Israel. Israel, the Jews. So, but when we come to chapter 11, and going, if I can, to verse 25, God is going to do a wonderful thing with Israel in the kingdom. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own eyes, conceits, that blindness in part, has happened to Israel, not in totality, in part. I'm not done with Israel, in part. In verse 25, in Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in, until I've got all of it. What are you doing with the Gentiles? I'm dealing with the nations. Israel's over here. I put it aside. I judged it. They're just at the bottom of the pile. I'm working in the times of the Gentiles. I'm working out the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles must be fulfilled. They must be fulfilled. They must be worked out. And that's what's going to happen. And I'm not eliminating the Jews are sitting there, but I'm working right now with the Gentiles. Daniel chapter 2, etc. I'm working with it. I didn't forget the Jews. The Jews are right there. And I'm not done with them. In fact, next statement, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. They're going to save them. Israel's going to be saved. Boom, in the tribulation. They get saved. Mm-hmm. That's right. But I got to finish it. Israel's there. Now, having said that, now, back over, if I can, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if I can. Chapter 46, and just point out in Genesis 46, you will note, if I can, here's Egypt. Chapter 46, God is going to judge Egypt. But God is going to judge them, But God is going to do a wonderful thing in his grace, and Israel and Egypt is going to enjoy the kingdom. Egypt is going to enjoy being part of the world system, the kingdom, and even be saved if they choose. And therefore, Israel, Egypt, like we did when we did Egypt, chapter 46, be of good cheer, for, verse 26, I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of his servants. But when I'm done with this, what I'm doing, afterward, it shall be inhabited, that's Egypt, as in the days of old, saith the Lord. I'm not finished with Egypt. In the millennium, Egypt is going to be there. Egypt, I didn't get rid of Egypt. I'm going to bring Egypt. I'm going to bring a remnant. They're going to be a nation. Now, hang on to do it again. Over again, chapter 49. Well, chapter 48 comes before 49. Chapter 48, picking up, please. Verse 47, the end. Verse 47, yet, this is for Moab, and yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. I'm going to clobber Moab. I'm going to tell you wonderful details. We aren't going to do all the details. Invasion, what do you want to care? They came in with swords and they killed so many. You know, all of that's wonderful information. But you don't need it when snowing. Now, so there it is again. And now it's to Moab. Are you going to do it again? Yep. I'm going to punish those nations. But be of good cheer. I'm not finished. Over. And remember Moab. Moab is what? Moab, where do you come from? You came from Lot. Moab came from Lot. Remember Lot? They left Eden, left Sodom and Gomorrah. His two daughters said, what are we going to do for the future? And they ended up having children, one of them by Lot, and one of them was Moab. He's tied to the system. Wow. This is Moab. Yep. Now, so if I can, in chapter 48, in verse 7, chapter 49, verse 6. And afterward, I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. I'm going to do it. I told you, each nation, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it. I'm not finished with them. It looks like I'm finished. I'm finished as far as they're concerned, but I'm not finished as far as I'm concerned, said God. And chapter, verse 49. But it shall come to pass, 49:39. It shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. I'm gonna bring it all. I told you, I'm gonna fix it. It's gonna come out good. But you have to go through the sequence and understand how it's going to come out so that you hang in there so you see it. God's going to do what he does in his most wonderful, wonderful way, and you have to trust him to work it out, what he's doing. So now, having said that, you got the little picture of it moving. Everything's in order. So what happens here, something's going to, if it once here, it's going, the next thing's going to be here. And the next thing and the next thing. That's what has to be. So, what are we doing, God? Here we are looking, and here's Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, verse 13. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel's telling all this prophetic stuff that Revelation's going to fill in the details, but Daniel gives a whole lot of stuff to understand. And Daniel's there and say, wow, how's this going to go, God? I don't have all the dominoes. I don't know, how's it going to go? And God says, listen, I want you to just rest and relax and stand in your lot. I'm going to finish what I'm doing. So why don't you sit down and have a soda and relax. I'm going to finish it. Now, so when it comes to the end for us guys, we got more prophecy than Daniel ever had, to say the least. And we're looking at it. We're looking at the whole ball game to the end. Now, God, what are we supposed to be doing? Here we are. And everything's happening and outworking itself. What are we doing, God? We're going to go on what? Revelation 22, 20. Present tense. Middle voice. I am coming. I am coming. Close the book. I'm coming. I'm like in communion. What do we do? Communion. I'm coming. Don't forget. I'm coming. Don't forget it. I'm coming. Now, so you're getting a little bit to help you understand. Anyway, now, having said that little bit, and thinking, if you would, now put it even a bigger thing, bigger, easier. You know it again. Isaiah 24. Isaiah and 24. And begin. In Isaiah chapter 24, may I go in the light of it, in verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, he maketh it waste, he turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. God's going to do what he does at the end of the millennium, and ultimately a new heaven and a new earth. And sliding down, here's the population of the world. Verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and the fadeth away. The haughty, proud people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled. Under who did it? It was that dirty water. No. You did it. You are the pollutant. You humans. It isn't the water or the trees or the fish. It's your heart. It's your heart. That's what it is. You humans have corrupted. I told you I wouldn't do the flood again. And God's going to do something else to say, I'm not going to do the flood again. And I'm going to give you space so that what? You can get your act right. But in the process, here we are looking, God, and the space goes by, time goes by, and we're looking, and what are we doing? Are we? They had 120 years to fix Noah's day. Did they fix it? I've given you all this time. So when I come, you have corrupted the world. Why are you going to put a new heavens and a new earth? Why are you going to judge the whole ball game? You aren't going to save any stars? What about the Big Dipper? You know, no. All gone. Why not? You have corrupted the whole ball game, like in Romans 8. Romans 8, the whole world groans. Remember, we did it in Sunday school. The whole world groans for waiting for us to get saved and taken up. The whole world is being punished. Animal life, bugs, birds, infections, disease, because we, Adam and Eve, sinned. And we did all this in Sunday school. So what do you know? What? God did it. Right on the beginning, he cursed the ground, Genesis 3. Why? Why'd you do this, God? Why'd you do it? So that you would wake up, that live in the ground. And I didn't make it a little heaven. I got rid of the Garden of Eden. I made it so that you would understand. Why is the bugs? Why are the disease? Why is everything there? Why is it there? because you've sinned. You need to get your act right with God. Get your act right with God, and I'll fix the ground. I'm trying to tell you something. You get flu and everything. I'm trying to tell you, wake up. Why do you get this stuff? Why is it like it is? I leave it like it is for you to wake up. And like Romans 8, it all groans, waiting to be delivered. So here, Isaiah 24, the earth also is defiled. Now, if you try to take this to the World Health Organization and tell them this, I don't think it's going to go very far. Tell them it's us guys, we did it. That has nothing to do with the green or blue or anything else. The earth also was defiled and inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth and the earth. We aren't talking about a little place over in Egypt. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. I'm going to have to judge the whole thing. It's the only way to fix it. I did it. I did it inch by inch, always leaving a remnant to learn something and to get saved. But I'm done. I'm all done doing that. Yep, all done. Are there going to be any saved after the Great White Throne Judgment? No. Everyone's saved that's going to be saved. No more saved. No more. It's all done. Wow. Well, you do what you want. People do. Well, so now, having said that, and do it again, just, well, do it one place, two places, maybe. Isaiah 28, since we're over there. Isaiah 28, and immediately in the light of the context, verse 22. 28, 22, in the context. Now, brethren, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God a host of consumptions, judgments, even determined upon the whole earth. And as you're reading the judgment of Israel in Isaiah 28, pay attention. It's coming on the whole earth. What's happening in Egypt, in Moab, in Jerusalem, is leading down the dominoes to the next thing. It's just not going to, it's just going to be. And you can close the book and hear the news and do whatever. But it's still happening, going. Like we did with the book, you turn the pages, and the pages are just going to turn. You can't change the clock or the calendar. It's going. It's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. And so therefore, since we did that much, chapter 26, and you get the idea. What are you going to say, God, then, during these terrible times, even in the millennium? Chapter 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, until I'm done. What are you going to tell Israel? You know this. Matthew chapter 15, in the tribulation, what has God warned them? I'm not going to stop. What never can. Matthew 24, Revelation 13. I'm not going to stop what's going to happen with the Antichrist. But I'm telling you what. Run as fast as you can out of this city to a place I have for you, to hide you. run and hope you're not pregnant, because you're going to have to run fast, because the Antichrist is going to get after you. Go hide. Hide yourself till it's past. That's what you just read here in Isaiah, and that's what's going to say coming up. God, you're going to tell us what? Hide. Now, have you got a bomb shelter? Remember the bomb shelters years ago? The bomb shelters? It used to be a big, big thing. Everyone ever had a bomb shelter in your backyard. Now, in the bomb shelters, you don't have a bomb shelter. Now, I just read that. And God, I'm looking at the world and all of it's doing what it's doing. Has to work out. Now, God, closing, help me. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. God said, you are dead, so don't worry about anything. Dead. The average cemetery isn't upset with the news tonight. Do you understand? The average cemetery is quite comfortable. You can go walking. They won't hear anything. They're quite comfortable because they're dead. Colossians 3:3. And your life is hid in Christ, in God, in this room. So be of good cheer and know what I'm doing and be on the same page. That's what we keep trying to do with God's word. Help us 1,000 different things. Help us to be God on your page. I want to run with you. Like Caleb and Joshua. God walked and they walked so close. They followed him everywhere he went. That's why God blessed them. They followed God. That's what I'm going to do. Follow God. Did I get down to understand what I said? I do a little bit, God. So when you look at Moab and all of these nations, and you could say, boy, I didn't get anything out of that. Say, you can say that. But we'll try to get a little something, you know. And if all else fails, we'll give you a protein drink with all the vitamins in it. So you just drink the protein drink and you got everything. How's that? You got the idea? God, it's a wonderful thing. So, hope you got a little, and here's, using that, let's not do it. Here's Egypt, here we are. Here's the Tigris and Euphrates River running. Here's the Isle, here they are. Tigris all the way down from the Gulf, all the way over to the Mediterranean. Up there, here they are. And that whole area belonged to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And all the things you're reading in chapter 46, 47, 48 are right in that area. They're all in his domain.